Percy Ray used to proclaim it from the top of his lungs. The way of the cross leads home. The cross leads home. I'm thankful it still leads home today. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. These cars passing up and down this road, outside looking in, what we're doing here tonight is foolishness, useless. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. I bless His name tonight. I bless His sweet holy name. Brother Darren's going to come preach to us tonight. You know, it doesn't matter what the world does. Doesn't matter what the powers of hell do. Doesn't matter what Washington does. There is a book.
Yes, sir.
A Lamb's book that my name is written in and shall never be removed.
Yes, sir.
I bless His sweet holy name.
Amen.
Brother Darren, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for being here tonight.
It's a joy to be with you all tonight, and we certainly enjoyed the youth choirs you all were singing there. That was tremendous tonight. Praise the Lord for it. Thank you for the kind invitation you all have given us to be with you all tonight. We have prayed much about this meeting, and we're so thankful for everyone that's here, those that are tuning in on the internet. That is a blessing as well. So it's glad. Happy tidings from me to you, and I'm so thankful that God's given us this privilege of gathering on this side of eternity one more time tonight. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're interested in the book of Mark, chapter number 10. The book of Mark, chapter number 10, is on our heart tonight. And having found your place in Mark, chapter 10, I will ask you if you'll stand with me for the reading, reverence the reading of the Word of God. I'll begin reading in verse number 17. Mark, chapter 10, and verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." He answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You believe in underlining in your Bible, you ought to underline that right there. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. There's a phrase in verse 21, four words, that I believe God would have us think about tonight. One thing thou lackest. Father, would you help us tonight to preach the Word of God with boldness of the Spirit? I pray tonight, Father, that you would cleanse us of sin. You would empty us of self. God, I know you will not fill a dirty vessel. God, I pray you'd fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Help us, God, to preach to your people tonight, God. Thank you for everyone that's come this way tonight. I pray tonight, Father, that you would do a great work. And for this we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children say, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. When I look in the book of Mark, chapter number 10, I realize that Jesus, wherever he went, he usually attracted a crowd. If you look in these preceding verses, 13 through 16, there's a crowd of people that have come to Jesus, and Jesus is taking children up in his arms, and he's placing his hands upon them, and he's blessing them. And the disciples, oh, they're not happy about it. They're saying, "Hey, leave Jesus alone. He's too busy. We don't have time to do this." And Jesus rebuked them and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Whosoever will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein." And Jesus, after he spent some time with the children's ministry there, he got up and departed back into the way, ready to leave that area. And as he did, there came a young man just running, just absolutely as hard as he could. And when he got to Jesus where he was, the Bible says that he kneeled down to him and he began to ask him a question. I think then, number one, about the curiosity of the seeker. Now, I had gone to Winston-Salem, maybe a little north of there, and I was preaching in a revival meeting, well attended, 15, 20 people saved in the meeting. What a great result. I remember we had a singing group that was there that night. It was a family group, and probably the little girl was probably 5 or 6 years old that was singing with the family. And bless her heart if she didn't mess up the words. Have y'all ever been somewhere to sing and you messed up the words, you know, as a group or as a family, amen? And you just mess up the words and you're in front of all these people that you don't know, and it embarrasses the fool out of you. I'm telling you, it just killed that little girl. The rest of the night, she was what I'll call cowed. She didn't know how to act. She was weeping and crying the entire time that I preached. When it was over, I walked back to where she was. I said, "Honey, I sure enjoyed your song tonight." She said, "I'm messing up. I've embarrassed my whole family." I said, "Let me tell you something, honey. Sometimes God allows us to mess up to humble us. He allows us to mess up to show us that there's only one man perfect. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none good but one. There's none perfect but one. His name is Jesus." And I said, "Honey, if you don't know him yet, one of these days you're going to meet the perfect one. And you're going to know him when you meet him. And I want you to call on him and ask him to save you." She just looked at me like, "That didn't help me at all. I'm still embarrassed." Fast forward about 10, 11, or 12 years. And I was back in that same community, different church, preaching in a youth meeting there. And that night, that little girl got up. Now she's 16, 17, beautiful young girl, 18 years old. And she's up singing with some of her friends. And man, she is singing. She is eloquent. She's got power behind her voice. Man, she didn't make one mistake all night long. God, I just felt like God blessed it and used it. It was incredible. When the service was over, after I finished preaching, we had some hitting the altar just to pray, some just checking up, some just checking in. Some started calling on Jesus. I looked over here towards where the organ is, and I noticed there was this man. He was waving for me to come over there where he was. And when I started to go over there to pray, it was his daughter, that 17-year, 18-year-old girl, and she said, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I've been in church my whole life. You met me when I was just a little girl. I forget, 5 or 6 years of age. And you told me that night that one day I'd meet the perfect one. And I'll tell you, at that point in time, I thought I had met him. I thought I was already saved." But she said, "God got to deal with me tonight while he was preaching. And God showed me I was lost and that I needed to be saved." And I'm telling you, friend, over there in the corner of that church, an old-fashioned altar, she wasn't embarrassed anymore because she didn't know the right words. And she wasn't embarrassed because she didn't know the right one. She called on Jesus and got gloriously saved. You see, thanks be unto God, them 10, 12 years later, ever how long it was, she met the right one. She met the perfect one. Can I get a witness right there? I'm telling you, this young man, he came because he was a curiosity seeker. He comes running in. Now maybe he's been religious his whole life. He's been a good boy. He's been all the Bible schools. He's sung in every youth choir. He's been in every Sunday school class. His mom and daddy's raised him, right? But I'm telling you, my daddy's a preacher. I was still going to hell, and I needed to be saved, amen. I was raised in Sunday school class. In fact, I went 9 months before I was ever born. Say amen right there, amen. And I want you to know that there come a time that I needed to be saved. Here comes this young man, and he says to Jesus, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What good deed can I do? What can I be baptized? What can I give? What can I do that I might be saved?" Second of all, I want us to see the certainty of the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." You called me good master, but really there's none good tonight. I mean, how many of y'all think your pastor's a good man? But truthfully, there's none good, and he would tell you but one, His name is Jesus. You may say, you're an evangelist. Is he a good man? No, he's a lousy man. He's a stinker. Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I praise God one day he'll deliver me from it. Amen. From this body. But he has saved my soul, and I thank him. Amen. Jesus is what he's saying. He said, there's none good but one, and that's God. So what he's saying is, if you will admit that I'm good, then I must be God. He's trying to get him to admit that there's none. That little boy, he's been good his whole life. I'm sure y'all sit here tonight and say, well, I'm good. I'm good. Did we do good singing? Oh, you did. Oh, it was good. But I'm not giving glory to you. I'm giving glory to God. Amen. So as you admit that Jesus is good, you're admitting that Jesus is God. I hope you'll write this down if you're taking notes. Jesus is saying salvation is not what, but who. Salvation is not what, but who. Verse 19, Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Look with me. He named 6 of the 10 commandments. Verse 20 says, that young man says, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. I've been in training unions. I've been in Sunday school class. My parents brought me 9 months before I was ever born. Master, all these things I've done. Verse 21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He had compassion on him. He said, I'm going to tell you, it's more than just keeping 6 out of 10 commandments. You've broken one, you've broken them all. Well, bro, preacher there. Yes, if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, to break one commandment, the soul that sinneth, guess what? He's going to die. He's going to go to hell. That's what's going to happen. So Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. You got all these things, son. You've been in training union. You've been in Sunday school. You're singing in the youth choir. One thing you're lacking. You've got baptism. You've got religion. You've got good family. You've got good friends. You've got plenty of things. But one thing you're lacking. He said, I want you to come and follow me. Number 3, I want us to see the calamity of the sinner. In verse 22, he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He walked away desiring to inherit eternal life, something he could do, something he could give. He walked away sad, saying, I can't do that. This is not for me. He had great possessions. He had plenty. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. He felt that he had faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like, Preacher Darren, I've got faith. Listen now. Faith, listen to me closely. His faith is not in what. His faith is supposed to be in who. But he's put his faith in what. He's put his faith in baptism. He's put his faith in the church he joined. He put his faith in the youth choir he's a member of. He put his faith in the Sunday school class he attends. He put his faith in his mama and his daddy, in who they were. Though my daddy is the pastor of a wonderful church, it didn't save me. No more than me walking underneath that carport tonight made me a Buick. I can be baptized so many times that the tadpoles know my first name. Here comes Darren again. I'm telling you, that does not mean that I'm saved. Amen? I have to have faith, not in what? Not in faith. Listen, not in family, not in friends, not in experience. I have to have faith in Jesus Christ. This young man has got all these things. He's got religion. He's kept many of these commandments. But he does not have Jesus. One thing thou lackest. More than likely, this young man has never called upon the name of Jesus in his entire life. He walked away. The Bible says he walked away. We have no report. I believe the Bible would have told us. We have no report that the grace of God or the Holy Ghost ever or Jesus ever knocked on his heart's door again. There's no record of it. Preacher Darren, you can't prove it, so I think he did get saved. Well, you can't prove he did, so I'm thinking he didn't get saved. And when this boy I'm telling you, he said no to Jesus. And when he said no to him and walked away, what happens to him? Well, fourthly, I want to go a little further here. And I want to see the clarity of the Savior. Verse 26, the disciples ask a question. They said, who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it's impossible, but with God, woo-wee, with God, all things are possible. Will y'all hear me for a second? Come here, I want to tell you something. I've seen Sunday school teachers get saved. I've seen deacons get saved. Been in church their whole life, going through the process and the motions and doing the Monday and just going through and never had repented of their sins. Never asked Jesus to save them. They started going to church and they joined the choir and they went to Sunday school and they went along the line. And I'm telling you, they never repented of their sins. They never called on Jesus. This young man, Jesus is going to be very clear with him. Look in verse 33. I'm going to preach. Saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be delivered under the chief priests, under the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day, he shall rise again. You see, salvation is not in what, it's who. It's in Jesus. I want to say to you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Preacher, I did that. But my Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 7, it will say, Lord, Lord, have we not called upon your name? He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You know why? Because they didn't do the will of God. They prayed a little prayer, what the preacher said, what so and grandma said, what mom and daddy said, good. But they never repented of their sin. And I'm telling you, it's a problem. What happened to this young man who walked away sad and grieved from Jesus, never to return again? What happened to him? For all I know, this is the last time we're going to be assembled just like this. And one day I will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and he will say to me on that Saturday night, did you preach what I told you to preach? And I'm not going to stand there and say, no, I didn't. I wanted to do something that was popular, make everybody feel good and like me. I'm not going to do that because, see, your blood will be on my hands. So I'm going to preach what God laid on my heart and put your blood back on your hands, and you will have the decision that you must make. That young man had a decision. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But when Jesus told him, he refused it. He rejected it. Didn't want it. And right now, that young man died. The point unto men was to die. And he went out and he met God. And God has sentenced that young man right now to hell. There are people in hell right now that once occupied church pews. Said in revivals, said in Sunday school classes, but would never say yes to Jesus. Would never bow their heads and call the Lord. I want to turn to the book of Revelations chapter 19. Excuse me, chapter 20. Revelations chapter 20. One of these days, that young man that heard Jesus deal with him, that's in hell right now, saying, what have I done? And forever he's going to hear those words. One thing thou lackest. One of these days, that young man is going to stand before Jesus Christ. In Revelations 20, verse 11, the Bible says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. That young man is going to, you might want to write this down, he's going to appear at the imperial throne. Imperial. It is a great white throne. Great, the word is megas, which means maximum. There is no higher authority, no higher court in the land. If you think the Supreme Court or the United States President is powerful, they are far, far, far less than what you'll do when you stand before Jesus Christ at this imperial throne. It is great. The Bible says it is white because of its purity. Notice with me, there is no more blood. It's not red. It's white. No blood available. If you decide when you stand there, when that young man says, oh, well, I've changed my mind now, Lord. I realize the error of my ways. Too late. It's great. It's final authority. It's white. It's pure. No more blood available at that point in time. It is a throne. Look with me. A great white throne. It is the ultimate power. It is the throne of Almighty God Himself. He's turned it over to Jesus. Look with me. These are going to start with the letter I. An imperial throne. Look with me. There is an impartial truth. Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There's one man told me, he said, I'll tell you what, one of these days when I stand there, because I've never been saved, I'm going to tell God a few things. Me and him's going to have a chat. I'm going to tell him why some things were unfair. I'm going to tell him how things should have been. I'm going to tell him what it should have been that I might serve him. And I'm going to tell you something. When you stand there, you're not going to tell God nothing. You're going to run for a place to hide and a place to flee and get away from the authority of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon that very throne. There was found no place for them. Depart from me. I never knew you. You have no excuse. One thing thou lackest. God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, will be the judge there that day. Preacher Darren, why Jesus? Because he was the one that was born in the manger. He's the one that left the splendor of heaven to come to the sin-cursed earth, took on himself human form. God wrapped up in a baby skin. It was Jesus that lived a sinless life. It was Jesus that healed the sick. It was Jesus that raised the dead. It was Jesus that preached the word. It was Jesus that rode on that donkey while they waved the palm branches as he came through. It was Jesus that they rejected and said, crucify, crucify him. It was Jesus that they planted a crown of thorns for. It was Jesus that they beat with a cat of nine tails. So his visage was more marred than any man. He's the very one who gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that they buried. He's the one that rose again on the first day of the week. He's the one that said, come unto me and I will give you rest. He's the one that said, I'll save you. You come to me and I will in no wise cast you out. Jesus is an impartial judge. He cannot be swayed. He cannot be argued with. There are no loopholes, just truth. Your religion, your money, your intellect, your wit, your charm, your personality, your faithful attendance will not matter. Look at that throne. See the nail prints. See his scar on his side. See his back. See his brow. See the spear with. Listen, wicked men did this to him. And yet there he sits. He knows all about you. There's not one thing he doesn't know about you. People have denied him. They've cursed him. They've ignored him. They've rejected him. They've disbelieved him. They've sold him. He is an impartial judge. Look with me again. Gathered at that throne is not just one young man. It is an innumerable throng. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Bodies that have laid in the graves or in dust or in the sea will arise. Souls will be brought up out of hell to be reunited with that corrupt body. And they'll stand, those that are lost will stand one by one before God. Verse 13 says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead. Death claimed the body. Hell has claimed the soul. Now they're reunited to stand before God. Look with me. Souls that are shriveled up by hate, greed, lust, scorn,
pride, iniquity, and unbelief. They'll be summoned to stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment. Small and great, verse 12, small and great. That means rich and poor, educated and uneducated, religious and not religious. Amen. It means those that are young, those that are old, men, women, yellow, black, brown, white, doesn't matter your color. It will be a terrible fellowship. They're all in the same position, standing before God, judged before Jesus and found wanting. God gave every one of these people an opportunity to repent, a moment to call upon the Lord. Creation has preached to them. Conscience has preached to them. The preaching of the cross, compassion has told them. Yet they've rejected. Do you know who'll be in that crowd? I believe there'll be children that have heard the Lord deal with them about being saved, and they said no. They're going to stand before Jesus and give an account of their decision. Preacher, I do not believe that. I could tell you about an 11-year-old girl who sat on this side of the sanctuary during the preaching service, and she wiggled and cried and did all she could do to get out of the service. When it was over, the preacher was at the back. Her mom and daddy said she needs to be saved. He said, honey, don't you want to be saved? She ran by him and said, no, not tonight. Ran to the car, trying all she could do to get away from him. Mom and daddy says, well, God's dealing with her about being saved. He said, well, you never know. You better call on him while you can. Well, we'll talk to her, see if she'll come back in. But if not, we'll be back on Wednesday. They talked to her. She said, I told y'all. She's in the back seat. I told y'all I'm not interested in getting saved tonight. I don't want to be embarrassed in front of everybody. I'll go later. I've got plenty of time. I'm just 11. Got in the car. They drove down the road. They lived close to the church. They signaled left to turn into their driveway. And around 100 miles an hour, top the hill, was a drunk driver. As they turned, that car T-boned them. Knocked the daddy right out of the car. That broke seat belts. And mama too. And the little girl's pinned between the front seat and the back seat by her legs. She's not cut. She's not injured. She's not bleeding. The car's on its side, and there she is suspended in it from her side. I want you to know that daddy's doing all he can to try to help free her and get her out. Gasoline is pouring out of the gas tank across the road. The man that hit him was a drunk driver. He lit up a cigarette and said, man, what hit me? Threw the match down and woof! How many of y'all know that gasoline and matches are not a good combination? And it began to burn a trail across the road into that car and set that car on fire. But that little 11-year-old girl sat trapped in there. And she's saying, Mama, Daddy, it's getting hot in here. Give me up. They broke the daddy's shoulder trying to pull him, restrain him from getting his girl out because they could not get her unpinned. Mama stepped back and, please, honey, you said you're not saved. You said you need to be saved. Call on Jesus, honey. We can't get you out. Call on Jesus. She is burning. She said, Mama, it's too late. She burned to a crisp. They had her funeral at the church where she said no to Jesus at. Her preacher preached the message. Other young people that maybe God has dealt with, they hit the altar begging God to save them. Don't tell me that an 11-year-old person that says no to Jesus will not stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. There'll be children stand there. There will be teenagers, single adults, married adults, the aged, the affluent. They're going to stand there because they rejected Jesus Christ. There'll be bankers, there'll be lawyers, there'll be grocers, there'll be judges, there'll be doctors, there'll be bank tellers, there'll be welders, there'll be the retired, there'll be the unemployed. They're going to stand before God. All that would not repent and call on Jesus will stand before the great white throne judgment. Now, heaven and earth, listen, look, heaven and earth fled from before his face. Now wicked men are being tormented. The man they spat on, the man they cursed, the man they rejected is now their judge. And it is an innumerable throng of people. It's also an irrefutable testimony that's given. The Bible says in verse 13, the Bible says verse 12, the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Okay? The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There's going to be books, not one, books, plural. You see that? There'll be a book here, 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 books. What books are going to be opened? First of all, I believe, you got your Bibles, turn to the book of John chapter 12. The book of John chapter 12. Look in verse 48. This is one of the books that's going to be opened there that day. John 12, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You see that Bible you have in your lap, that Bible you have in your hand, that Bible will be a judge of you one of these days. You will give an account for every idle word you've ever spoken, every deed you've ever done. There'll be another book open. It is a book of life, saying that on August, my birthday's in August the 2nd, whatever year you were born, you were given an opportunity to live as a human being. It is a book of Adam, that we all have a flesh and God's breathed into us life, and here we are. In the flesh, there'll be another book called the Lamb's Book. It is for those who have bowed their knee, repented of their sins, believing that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and have been saved. When you get saved, your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. When those books are open, he's going to show you from his word that you could have been saved. He warned you, one thing thou likest. And you said, nah. He's going to show you that he gave you the opportunity to be a human and to live upon this earth forever how long you've lived. And then he's going to show you the Lamb's Book of Life, and there'll be an empty place where you thought your name would be. Look again. Is Darren not in there? Depart from me. I never knew. But I preached. I taught Sunday school. Hey, Judas cast out devils. Judas preached the gospel. Judas had the ability to heal people. And yet he betrayed Jesus and sold him. And his shriveled soul will stand one day before the great white throne judgment. And not just Judas, that 11-year-old girl that I told you about. I had a guy, Brother Gunn, we were working at our house. We were putting in a new kitchen for Miss Gina. She wanted new cabinets and a new countertop. I don't want to call it a bar top. Y'all think she's drinking, amen. But she wanted a new countertop. I love you, honey. A new countertop. So we had these workers coming. That's tearing out the old. Man, the place was a mess. And the people we had doing it, he said, listen, I got a family member that's got some DUI issues, lost his license, trying to get his life back together. I've given him a job. He'll ride with my fellas. Do you mind for him to work in your house? He's got a record. You're a preacher. Man, send him on. I talked to him about Jesus. I made friends with him. And listen, I wouldn't push him, but I made friends with him. At the end of the His nickname was Elvis. We all called him Elvis. Hey, Elvis, come here. I want to tell you something. So at the end of the project, it was beautiful. Elvis told his buddy, said, listen, I want to go hear that guy preach. Some of these other preachers, man, I can't talk to them. I can't relate to them. But that guy's interested in me. That guy's praying for me. And that guy, I mean, I knew who his family is. And I got to know him real well. And said, I want y'all to take me to hear him preach. I want to have my license back. So they brought him to my church on a Sunday night. And I preached that night on, there are things you can't afford to miss. God saved
8 or 10. He wasn't one of them. We went to the back. Coming out, I bowed down. I said, Elvis, did you understand what I said tonight? Yes. Why didn't you call on Jesus? Well, I've got to start living right. I got to get cleaned up first. I said, me and my brother lived at home. We played football, baseball in the yard. We got mud holes, throwed dirt pies at each other, got them in their ears. And when we come in, Mama didn't say, you boys is going to have to wash up before you come in. My mama put us straight in the shower just as we are. Get clean. Say amen right there. Jesus said, you come to me as you are. I can wash you and make you whole. Elvis, if you'll come to him just as you are, come, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. He can save you, Elvis, right now. He said, not now, preacher. Later. Friday night, my phone rang at 11 p.m. It was those guys that said, hey, how's it going, preacher? I said, I'm doing good. Y'all going to try to get Elvis back to church Sunday? They said, are you watching the news? No. You need to cut on Channel 13 News. And you need to watch it because Elvis was killed today. He was what? He got his license back this week. He went and bought a used car. And they pulled him over for suspected driving under the influence. And when they got him, he pulled a box cutter, the very box cutter that he opened my cabinets with, and set them in and put all the framing around them and the granite countertop on top of it. He took it to cut the trooper's throat. He missed his throat, but he cut his seatbelt off of him and into his bulletproof vest. The trooper got the car stopped. The boy jumped out, and he said, Elvis, halt, stop. But Elvis kept running, and boom, boom, they shot Elvis, and they killed him. Right now, while y'all sit here on padded pews in this nice air conditioning, we enjoy good choir singing, fellowship. Elvis is hell. I'm the last preacher ever talked to. And don't you know I question every day, what more could I have said? I remember getting out, what more could I have done? Well, what more could I have belabored? Oh, God, I don't want Elvis's blood on my hands. Lord, what more could I have done? God forbid that any one of you would have some issue before this week is out, you go back and say, Preacher Darren, why didn't you tell me at that youth service one thing thou lackest, and what I lacked was Jesus. I had religion. I had singing skills. But preacher, I did not have Jesus. Oh, I got baptized back yonder. I've gone through all the motions. But preacher, I never really got saved. I'm just telling you tonight, there are people that I come in contact with every day, that I'm the last person that they hear preach. You're hearing an irrefutable testimony. The books are open. Yeah. Dad, pastor, call him dad, it's my dad. Pastor, do you remember a guy by the name of Thomas Edison? The guy had have y'all ever heard of Thomas Edison? Four people. Why does that keep happening to me? If you've heard of Thomas Edison, I'm going to need some involvement. Thomas Edison had over 1,000 patents, one of the greatest inventors that's ever been. He believed that when you spoke, that your word is out there in sound somewhere, still carrying, and he tried to invent a machine that would get that word and gather every sound wave that has ever been spoken. Wow. But God already has the patent. There's not a thing that's ever been said or done that God Almighty does not know about. He knows whether your profession of salvation is real. You play games with it and say, well, I hope, I don't. He's not about a maybe so. You're going to get in because you bowed your knee in faith and said, oh God, I'm a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. Please forgive me of my wretchedness. And for those of you that's not tonight, you have shackles spiritually on your feet and on your soul, and you are a dead man walking on your way to hell.
And we could hear the chains when you came clang, 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 clang. That's why you've not got free and shouted and praise God, because you're in shackles. The devil's got his hand upon you to shut you down. I want you to look, last of all, and I'm done, at the irrevocable torment. Verse 14, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hey, man, thank God death will be gone. Hell will be gone. You can look at verse 10. The devil's going to be gone with them. Amen. But my troubles, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's no higher court. I appeal. There's no more time. It's over for you. You know, when he comes back in the rapture, and it could happen tonight while I'm preaching, he said that we would forever be with the Lord. So if I could say it like this, if those that are saved, they're going to be in the choir, so to speak, as the Lord sits at the great white throne judgment. And our loved ones that are not saved, some of you adults have children and grandchildren that are not saved, and you know it. If the end happens, they're going to be called, summoned to stand before God, and he's going to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to raise their finger, and they're going to point and say, Preacher Darren, vouch for me. I went to Bethel where you're the pastor. Preacher Roy, vouch for me. I shook your hand. I listened to your sermon. I sang in the choir. I went to your Sunday school. My name, for crying out loud, is on your church roll. But if your name is not in that book of life between you and Jesus, you're not getting in. And don't you know that every one of us that's in this choir, we're going to weep. The Bible says that one day God will wipe away all tears. I have a question. If we're in heaven, why are we crying? Because we've seen our loved ones sentenced away. I was called to court. I'm a pastor, a principal. I was called to court to try to be there for a family whose loved one was being sentenced away for 15 years. And I sat there, and it was the saddest thing I've ever seen. I seen that wife look at her husband when they put his hands up behind him. And he said, could I hug her one more time? No! Not another hug for your wife. Three or four kids, not another hug for the kids. I saw him just escort him and take him away, never to be heard from for 15 years. When you are sentenced to this lake of fire, you will never be heard from again. You will never sit in air conditioning. You will never know a minute without pain, without torment. It's all that you're ever going to know. There they stand. What is your name? My name is Felix. Your name is not found. Depart from me. I never knew you. But wait! I heard Apostle Paul preach. Paul, tell him, you stood before me. Depart from me. I never knew you. What's your name? My name is Herod. I heard John the Baptist preach. Depart from me. I never knew you. What's your name? I'm a young man that said, good master. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Depart from me. Your name is not. But I heard you speak personally. Didn't I bow my knee? Didn't I come in on bended knees? Wasn't I coming the right way to the right person? Depart from me. I never knew you. God forbid that it would be Darren or Luke or Tyler or Gina, or Carrie, or Haley, that'll be called up to stand before God. My loved ones, to stand before God never got saved. One of the most solemn facts I know is that you're sitting right now on a pew next to death. And for all I know, you've already been served your final meal. I think about Elvis. You tasted that final meal. You've saw your loved ones for the very last time. You've slept your final night in your bed. Just in a few moments, death is going to carry you away and escort you to a place where you'll never, ever return from. You know it. A lump in your throat. A knot in your belly. Your heart beating faster and faster. Look around you right now. Look with me. Look with me. You see that ceiling up there? It's too high. Look down at your feet. Underneath that carport is concrete. You can't bore through it. You're chained right now to death. You're chained to a life sentence. You can't get free. And then you hear somebody walking. And they open your cell door. And in walks Preacher Darren and tell you, I have good news for you. For any of you that would get out of your seat and come to this altar and call on Jesus, he said you can go free. No more death. No more hell. No more devil. You're set free tonight. I have been forgiven of all my sins and I'm let go. Friends, I'm tell you what. He could do that tonight. There was a man walking through a museum. He saw a painting up on the wall. We'll pretend it's up there. He looked at that painting and it was two people playing chess. One was a young man chewing his fingernails trying to figure out what to do. The other was the devil in a suit. And it said, checkmate. The devil has put that boy into checkmate. Game over. Lights out. And a great Russian chess player stopped and he studied that painting and studied that painting. And he got as close as the boundaries would let him. Do you see it? Do you see it? He said, young man, I know you can't hear me, but if you could, there's one move that you can make. And you can reverse the entire board. And you can put the devil in checkmate. One move. His name is Jesus. One move. And you'll turn your whole world around. You'll stand to your feet. You've come in here with, you feel like I have time. Preacher, I'm young, I have time. You have no idea. I've got a preacher friend that just last Sunday was at church. And now this week, they're having his funeral. Electrocuted. Terrible accident. Fine. I'm telling you, God knows that y'all could be having my funeral before next Sunday. We could be having your funeral before next Sunday. What on earth? Somebody come to the piano. I wonder if there's anybody. Young man, young lady, I'm telling you right now, you just need to make one move. His name is Jesus. There's some Christians in this building. You're worried about some family members. They're going to point at you and say, you didn't witness. You didn't tell me. You ought to hit this altar right now and say, oh God, I'm bringing you my cousin. Oh God, I'm bringing you my friend. Oh God, I'm bringing you my granddaughter. Oh God, I'm coming right now. And as you're coming, I want you to say, preacher, there's some people here tonight. Probably it's lost. Would you pray for them too? And if you're here tonight, I'll not embarrass you. But if you're not saved, why don't you just right now raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Because hell, that lake of fire sounds like a place of torment. And I do not want to go. I want to be saved. Is anybody tonight you'd raise your hand? Just put it up, put it right back down. I'll not embarrass you. Say, preacher, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. Is anybody? I'm looking to my left. You're already in the altar. You're in these pews. I'm looking my left center. I'm looking in the balcony. I'm looking at the right center. God's searching. I'm looking in the altars to my right. Is there anybody here say, preacher, I need to be saved? I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved right now, preacher. Listen, I found some coins today. I believe God wants to save somebody. I wish you'd just be honest and say, oh, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. Please save my soul. To my right, is there anybody? God dealing with you. Maybe you're watching at home right now. I don't know who you are, but I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you want to be saved, would you just bow your head and tell him, talk to Jesus, bow your head right where you are. Maybe you're listening. Maybe this is time delayed and you're listening. You're watching in the car. I feel led to say this. Why don't you stop right now and pull your car off to that parking lot? Just stop right now. Don't go any further. Do not go through the red light. Stop. Pull over. You that are at home, won't you right now bow your head and say, Jesus, tell him, Jesus, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I've tried to act saved. I've tried to be good. But I'm lost. Tell him. And I believe you're the Savior. Tell him. I believe you died on the cross for me. Tell him. I believe you were buried and you rose again. And I believe tonight you're knocking on my heart's door and I let you in, Jesus. Will you take me? Will you receive me? Will you save me, Jesus? Please save me tonight. The Bible says if you'd come to him, call upon him, tell him, Lord, will you save me? Forgive me my sins and save my soul. Let me go to heaven. You'd call on him in faith and save you right where you are. Woo! And I wonder, maybe you might send me a message and say, preacher, I got saved. I get emails. Pastor Darren at BellSouth.net, write me an email. Preacher Darren, I got saved. Father, we bow our heads before you tonight at Fletcher. And God, I believe there are people in this service. And I believe there are people as a result of this service. And I believe there are people at home that you're dealing with about being saved. And I believe you'll save them if they'll call upon you. Lord, I know this because you saved me one night at Balfour Baptist Church. And I praise you. And Lord, I don't want anybody, please, don't let anybody utter the sound of my voice tonight die and go to hell. Die without Jesus. God, I don't want their blood on my hands. I'm trying to warn them as best I know. God, I'm asking you, would you save someone tonight? In Jesus' name, amen and amen.